Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The True Crime Society podcast contains adult themes and violence and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And if you'd like to skip the intro or move to any specific part of the podcast, please refer to the timestamps listed in the episode description. Thank you. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the True Crime Society podcast with Stephanie and Olivia. It is November 27th, day before Thanksgiving. It is already December when this comes out, getting closer to the end of the year and the holidays. So I'm sure future me is probably feeling crazy, but maybe not. It's been a crazy long year. I know a lot of people feel the same. But you said you had a story about like a snake or something that I feel like I missed. I don't.
So I went for a walk with my daughter the other day. And where we live, it's kind of rural. Like I think I've spoken in the past about how occasionally we have snakes and stuff. Just going into my Google has like changed everything. I bought Apple anyway. So I'm just trying to find the actual photo I took so I can read it out to you guys. So we went for a walk like in our neighborhood. We're just walking and I see this sign stuck up on like a telegraph pole, and so I'm nosy, so I stopped to read it, and it says python found, hybrid diamond python.
Oh,
and
I did see this.
In brackets, if left in the wild will damage the genus group, which I'm assuming is like a native snake. This snake has injuries that will be forwarded on eventually. It has been picked up by a licensed reptile keeper 22nd of the 11th, and then it's got a phone number. So I'm assuming this means that someone has gone and dumped their enormous python and someone else has come across it and thought, this isn't native to the area, we need to pick it up. I'm like, what is going on? I just can't even imagine. Like, if I saw a snake, there's no way I'd be going up to investigate it and see what, like, diamond pythons are fine. Like, they're the ones that you want to have around your house because they eat the rats, and I can identify them, like, just looking at them. I'm like, that's a diamond, that's fine. But I'm just like, what is going on? Someone's dumping snakes. Why?
Where are they keeping it?
I don't know. I'm like, so we do have a reptile park around here, and I know that there's a few. So I've also mentioned in
what
the past.
What is that?
It's kind of like a zoo, but for reptiles.
So I thought you meant like a dog park.
No. It's called the reptile park. But like, so they mainly have like, they have kangaroos and koalas, and I think they have like crocodiles. It's not like a proper zoo where they have elephants and giraffes and stuff. Like, they've got kangaroos, koalas, crocodiles, and then they have a whole big reptile section with heaps of snakes, spiders, all that type of stuff. So around here,
very Australian.
Yeah, I've mentioned in the past, so funnel webs are a really venomous spider, and they always say if you come across one, don't kill it. You're meant to try and capture it and then take it to this reptile park because they milk them for the anti-venom. So on my like local Facebook group every day, there's someone's like, I've got a funnel web. Can anyone take it to the reptile park for me? So I'm wondering, I know that there is someone in the neighborhood who does live here and work at the reptile park. So I wonder if that is the licensed reptile keeper who found the snake. But
maybe.
I'm just like, wow, this is wild. I'm just, why? Why are people dumping snakes? Why? Don't do that around here.
Yeah, and who's just like picking them up and keeping them? Unless it is like the...
Yeah.
Person who's supposed to be doing that.
I did see someone. So around here, the two kind of most venomous snakes we get are red belly black snakes and brown snakes. Brown snakes especially are very, very venomous. I've never, ever seen one in the wild. I don't ever want to see one. They were like, maybe I'm wrong about this, but from what I hear, they're very aggressive. So most snakes, like when we're growing up here, you're always taught to like, if you're going through the bush, like for a hike, you make heaps of noise and that scares the snakes away. Like you walk really heavily and you have a stick that you bang on the ground as you walk, and that generally will get the snakes out of the way. Whereas brown snakes will actually lunge at you. They're very venomous. My friend's dad got chased by a brown snake. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I never want to see any of those. But like, I have seen red-bellied black snakes. They say they are, even though they are venomous, they're not as aggressive, and they say they are good to have around your house because they keep away the brown snakes. And like, we had a red-bellied black snake in our pool once and things like that. So I've kind of gone off on a tangent here. But so yeah, we get pythons, red bellies, and brown snakes around here. They're the three that I know, and I have seen two of them around here. So hopefully never see a brown snake. But
how fast is a snake that it can chase you? Like, I feel like they can't be that fast.
Yeah, I'm just looking at brown snake speed. Well, I think they are. It can strike at speeds of 1.8 meters per second. So I don't even know. Like, that's mm-hmm. like a very tall person is 1.8 meters. So in 1 second, it can get as far as a person with an average of 1.11 meters per second.
It says as long as you didn't get hit with the strike and you ran away, like, yeah. Like they can come after you very fast, right?
This may contribute to the snake's reputation for speed. It says it's the eastern brown snake is classed as one of the most toxic of any snake in the world. It can reach a top speed of 12 miles an hour. Like, I can't run 12 miles an hour, so it's coming to get me. But they are fit, and they just strike. Like, that's the thing. If you see it, they can strike at you and be there in a second. Yeah. It's not even so much that they – yeah, like my friend was telling me when her dad got chased, he like had to get in the car because the snake wouldn't like literally go away from him. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Stay away from the brown snakes.
I'm glad I don't have to deal with that nonsense. I did mean to say at the start, this is what I mean, like my brain at this point in the day just doesn't want to work anymore because I was literally saying to myself, like when I hit record, this should be our 200th episode, I'm pretty sure. So this will be our 200th episode. And I wanted to say that at the start, but I forgot and my brain froze. And then we started talking about snakes.
Oh, yeah.
So crazy, 200 episodes, 4.5 years?
Yeah, because for a while we didn't do weekly episodes. We did, like, we even had, like, a few months off here and there when we were first kind of starting. And then I think in 2022,
one, we started, or two.
2021, I don't know, we started going to weekly. So we've been going pretty solidly for a few years now.
Yeah, so this episode, for episode 200, we're going to be talking about Liam Payne, which a lot of people were interested in. You know, early on, we didn't really know if it was a crime, but it does seem like there are some crimes. I mean, people have been arrested. It seems kind of similar to what happened with Matthew Perry in a way. Obviously not the same, as there's no like doctors involved and things like that, but they have arrested a few people for his death.
I actually, when we were talking about doing Liam Payne, I was like, I don't know if there's going to be enough information for a whole episode, but it's actually turned out that there is a lot. And even just in this past week, there's been a ton more information about his last days come out. And it's just horribly tragic. Like, it does remind me a lot of Matthew Perry. Obviously different drugs, different circumstances, but basically he was enabled by a lot of people, and this, you know, essentially led to his death.
Yeah, he seems kind of like a lost soul.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something similar that a lot of like teen child stars deal with as they get older, I think, of just kind of not really knowing their place in the world anymore, like after One Direction broke up and he was just trying to find his footing again, it seems, struggled with addiction. It's a pretty interesting story, a lot of it, especially if you haven't followed it. Like, some of it is probably surprising. I think most people know who Liam Payne is. He was a singer in One Direction. I think most people know who One Direction is. I don't know, maybe not everyone does, but they were a huge boy band that was put together on the X Factor. People like would compare them to the Beatles, which some people would probably be insulted about, but they were a huge, huge international, like worldwide known boy band.
They were one of the biggest boy bands of all time, surely.
We're going to start the skinny with arguably the greatest boy band of all time.
You love this group.
I do kind of. Yes, One Direction.
You're blushing. With his latest Billboard Hot 100 debut, the single Perfect, roaring onto the chart at number 10, marks the group's fifth record debuting in Billboard's top 10.
Believe it or not, that means One Direction has broken the record for the most top 10 100 debuts among groups, passing the Beatles' record of four.
Well, at least you know how to pick them, Candace, huh?
Exactly.
Those four Beatles hits include Hey Jude, Get Back, Let It Be, and the 1995 hit reuniting the trio with vocals from the late John Lennon, Free as a Bird.
The One Direction songs have more lasting power than any Beatles song on record.
I love my Beatles. Beatles are iconic.
So One Direction.
And still, like, they still have so many fans, like normal fans, but they also have a lot of crazy fans. Yeah. Like, even when I was trying to read more about Liam and One Direction and all that, still to this day, their subreddit gets so many comments, posts all the time, which is crazy because One Direction has been split up since 2016,
almost,
I think.
Yeah, nearly 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very interesting, kind of the phenomena of it all. I always liked One Direction, but I was a little past the prime age when they got big. But I did work at Limited 2 Injustice as an assistant manager for a long time, so I did have to listen to a lot of One Direction when I was working. But I was never like a super fan or anything like that. I did like some of their songs. So yeah, we'll get into the story of Liam Payne.
I was always gonna live fast, die young. Former One Directioner Liam Payne has died at the age of 31. Reports out of Argentina say he was found dead at a hotel in Buenos Aires after falling from the third floor. It's unclear if it was intentional or accidental. Police say someone there reported an aggressive man who may have been under the influence.
Morning, everybody.
The star just posted these Snapchats from his time there, and fans were worried when he seemed drunk at the airport. Broken, smoking. That's him 2 weeks ago at former bandmate Niall Horan's show in Argentina. Liam got a ton of hate from Niall fans saying he was trying to make it about himself. He was also dealing with accusations of stalking an ex. Back in 2012, we talked to him and his bandmates about dealing with their mega fame.
It all happened so fast for us, so we don't, you know, we just kind of go with it.
We just kind of really, like, embrace it. I think we're just having a good time, you know, we're just teenage lads having fun.
His last posts were with girlfriend Kate Cassidy. He wrote, "Happy I got some time away." Liam leaves behind a son, Bear, with singer Cheryl Cole.
So Liam was 31 years old when he died in Buenos Aires, Argentina, on October 16th, 2024. He died after he fell from a third floor balcony while he was under the influence of various substances. And as of now, three people have been arrested and charged in relation to his death. This death, when it happened, was a shock to a lot of people because he's so young. He's a pretty big star. Sure, he's not the Harry Styles or Zayn of the group, but like I said, One Direction was huge and most people would at least know his name or recognize him. So even when I got the TMZ alert on my watch, I gasped. I literally went, Liam Payne died.
I feel like for me, it was crazy. Almost, I remember, like, there's a few famous people I remember when they passed. Steve Irwin was another one. I remember where I was when I found out that
Kobe
that
Bryant.
Happened. Yeah, Kobe Bryant. And like, this was when I
Michael,
like,
Jackson.
All of a sudden, like, I guess everyone kind of found out about the same time. And like, all of a sudden, it was just everywhere. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. People were texting me. They're like, Liam Payne died. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
Yeah, a lot of chatter about it, even with our group chats, just because for True Crime Society, we're all in different time zones working. Some people have kids, so we're not all always online. But when something like this happens, like, we all go to the chat. And we're like, oh my God. So yeah, it was a crazy, unexpected news. So we'll get into some background about him. Obviously, there is a lot that we won't get into. We'll just try to keep it with like the main points and how it's relevant to the crime here. I mean, we do get into a lot of the general background, but obviously there could be tons that you could talk about. So Liam James Payne was born in Wolverhampton, England on August 29th, 1993. His parents are Karen and Jeff Payne. He was the youngest child, and he also had two older sisters named Nicola and Ruth. Liam seemed to struggle from the start. A lot of people point this out. He was born 3 weeks premature, and he was frequently unwell when he was younger. And when he was 4 years old, a doctor noticed that one of his kidneys was scarred and dysfunctional. Liam was quoted in a book called Dare to Dream, Life is One Direction, talking about this. He said, I was always in the hospital having tests done, but they couldn't find out what was wrong. They discovered that one of my kidneys wasn't working properly and it had scarred. I had to have 32 injections in my arm in the morning and evening to try to make me better. So growing up, Liam enjoyed sports, especially cross-country running. He was ranked in the top three 1,500-meter runners in his age group for 3 years. He was also bullied in his early years, and he said that he started doing boxing at the age of 12 because of that. Around this age, he joined the Pink Productions Theater Company and starred as Tony in Saturday Night Fever. After he completed his schooling, he went on to study technology at the City of Wolverhampton College. And he first auditioned for The X Factor in 2008 when he was 14 years old. The judges at that time were Simon Cowell, Cheryl Cole, Danny Minogue, and Louis Walsh. He didn't make the cut that time, but Simon told him to come back in 2 years.
All smiles and burning. And one person hoping to continue the success and make his parents proud is 14-year-old schoolboy Liam.
When I'm at school, in general, I think about singing all the time. I should really be concentrating on my work, but I just think about singing too much. It's a dream and I'd love to do it.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you doing? What's your name?
Liam.
And what age are you?
14.
And why are you here?
I'm here to win. A lot of people have said I'm a good singer. I've got the X Factor, but I don't really know what the X Factor is, and I believe that you guys do.
And Liam, what are you going to sing?
Fly Me to the Moon, Frank Sinatra.
Great song. Simon loves swing.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me.
Simon, what do you think?
I think there is potential with you, Liam. I'm just missing a bit of grit, a bit of emotion, and actually a bit of fun, funny enough.
I like you. I think you're really cute. I think you've got charisma. You know, you give us that little cheeky wink.
I think this kid could do fantastic in the show.
You know, young guy, good-looking, people will like you, but there's something not quite... There's 20% missing for me at the moment.
Well, give me another audition and I'll show you I've got that 20%.
So I guess this was one thing that he talked about in a podcast interview. We talk about it a little more later too. It's called Diary of a CEO. He was on it in 2021 and he talked a bit about how he got like far enough on the X Factor where people locally knew him and were like impressed. But he said that it really showed him how it felt to have everyone kind of looking at him and kind of being like locally famous, and then for that to fade away. And then that's kind of where some of the bullying came in, is, you know, obviously kids are friggin' mean, but he says he specifically remembers one day he was just like sitting in the cafeteria and some other guy like walked past him and yelled out at him like, X Factor reject. And he was bullied a lot because of that then. So then he did return to the X Factor regardless in 2010, and he auditioned this time in front of Simon, Cheryl, Louis, and Natalie Imbruglia. During this year, this is how kind of One Direction was formed, because Harry Styles, Niall Horan, Louis Tomlinson, and Zayn Malik were all also on that round of the X Factor, and basically Simon kind of thought that they were apparently too talented to send home, but like not strong enough to go on individually. And they were put together to be a boy band essentially during the boot camp stage of the competition. And that's how they became One Direction. And then they continued the show as One Direction, and they ended up coming in third place that season. after that, so in January 2011, right after that season ended, they were signed to Simon Cowell's label, Psycho Entertainment. And their first song was What Makes You Beautiful, which I feel like everyone has to know. Like, I feel like you have to live on a rock to have never heard that song. What makes you beautiful? So from there, One Direction became the only group in the 58-year history of the Billboard 200 albums chart to have their first four albums debut at number one. It is true, like, the hysteria of teen girls surrounding One Direction does seem similar to the hysteria surrounding the Beatles.
Definitely.
What's not to love? The music and all that.
All their music, their personality. They're just amazing.
They're really funny, and they act like themselves, which makes us love them even more.
When the lads finally arrived, there was no doubt. One Direction mania had gripped our city.
So, I mean, they went on being very popular for a long time, but in 2015, Zayn left the band, and then Liam ended up taking over a majority of his vocals and was doing some more singing. Liam also wrote more than half the songs on One Direction's third and fourth albums. Liam and Louis were said to be the band's top earners, which is like, I guess maybe because they had writing credits, but yeah. It was always like Harry and Zayn that kind of seemed to be the bigger stars. Harry was probably like the face of the band, I'd guess. There was an interview that Liam did. It was Logan Paul's podcast, I think, where he was saying that originally, and who knows if this is true, this is him saying it, the band was formed around him, with him as the face, because Simon Cowell saw him as like the most talented, actually.
Yeah, no. I thought it was fake. So my question is, if it you're showing it is real. So like, when you met the other members of the band, were you like, oh, fuck this, bro? Or you
no,
like,
No. I'll be honest with you. When I met the other members of the band, I mean, as a kid, I didn't really have a tremendous amount of friends. I wasn't used to like rowdy guys. And I kind of hung around with my dad a lot, if I'm honest with you. My dad was the reason that I went on the show. But I'd already been on the show 2 years prior to the band being made. And what happened when I was on the show the first time, I went on and I sang, and I got from 180,000 people down to the last 24, so it's a step before like you're like making it. And yeah. Simon kicked me off. And then the weirdest thing happened, all the contestants were there. Simon had dinner with me and my mom. And the manager of One Direction was at that dinner, but he also worked around X Factor for a very long time. I know this is a high conspiracy theory. So we had dinner, and Simon was like, I'm really sorry I had to let you go. Like, I didn't want to let you go, but you have to go and get your education and come back in 2 years. And at this point, I was really mad at Simon, because I thought I beat the kid that got through. I was like, I know that I outdid that, you know. Sorry to that kid. And from what I've heard is that, like, part of the reason One Direction was made was because of Simon's promise to me that in 2 years, I'll make this work for you.
Wow.
So he kind of started with my face and then worked around the rest. I've never told that story before.
You were the inception.
I was the honorary member of One Direction, yes. And he told me that story himself in his house.
Wow.
Since I've been researching this, basically all my Instagram feed and is One Direction stuff. So there was a video the other day, and it said, find someone that believes in you the way that Simon Cowell believed in Harry Styles. And it was Harry Styles scene, and it was absolutely horrendous. I really like Harry Styles,
Bad. But
it was horrible. And I'm like, oh my gosh, when you were talking just then about how they weren't strong enough individually and that's why he put them together, I'm like, absolutely, I believe that after seeing that video of Harry Styles. I'm sure, and don't get me wrong, he's improved a lot. I'm sure he's great now, but back then he was like, wow, this is not great.
Yeah, I do remember that. And I did see other people commenting, being like, I'm surprised some of them even made it, because their auditions were pretty much all horrible except Liam's and maybe another one of them. I can't remember who.
Niall was always.
But yeah, I've seen that video too. Yeah. So in 2016, as we mentioned, that is when One Direction went on an indefinite hiatus.
So how long is this break really going to be, though? The fans are freaking out. How long is this break going to be or taking?
I don't know. I think kind of the point of it is not to put a cap on it. And then when we're all ready and want to do something, I'm sure we will.
Feeling a bit emotional, Niall, about having that time apart?
Obviously, it's going to be a bit of a shock to the system, you know, and doing this every day for the last 5 years, you know, that's just been our life, and then not doing it for a bit is going to be strange, but looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be nice to be able to chill out for a while and not have our lives planned and scheduled.
Do you think when you do take your break, are you all still going to hang out, or be like a complete complete break and you're not going to see each other during personal time.
When we're on the road and stuff, we still go into each other's rooms and hang out. So I think, sorry, I'll come in a little bit. We'll miss each other too much. We've shared such an amazing 5 years and experience with each other that you can't relate to with anybody else. So how can you let that go when you've got four bros together just broing out?
So since their debut, One Direction has sold 70 million records worldwide, including 7.6 million albums and 26 million singles in the US, becoming one of the best-selling boy bands of all time. My favorite song of theirs is Story of My Life. Gets stuck in my head all the time. It's one of those songs that'll just randomly pop into my head and I'm just like, Story of My Life.
Now, ever since Liam died, everyone's been playing Night Changes, and I do love that song.
That's a good one too. I like that one too. So from there, they all kind of separately tried to go off and do their own solo things. Harry Styles is clearly the most successful with his solo career, I would say. Liam started working on solo material. He worked with artists such as Wiz Khalifa, Quavo, and Ed Sheeran. In 2020, his net worth was estimated to be around £47 million, or around $59 million. I don't think his solo career was as successful from the jump as he would have hoped it was.
Yeah.
So in 2015, Liam started dating Cheryl Cole, who was also an X Factor judge, was a judge when he was on the show. And she is 10 years older than Liam. I feel like not enough people talk about this.
Yeah, especially the fact that they met when he was 14, first of all, on X Factor. So she would have been 24.
And she was a judge.
Yeah. So, like, at this stage, I'm just trying to do the maths backwards. But so 2010, he probably would have been 20 and she would have been 30-ish around that. So,
which doesn't sound as bad, but it's just an interesting coupling. Yeah.
There's a lot of discussion online about basically how it was inappropriate because she had known him. I guess it's almost like a teacher dating a student after the student has graduated. I don't know. Like, it is a big age gap. And I feel like it's mostly inappropriate because she knew him when he was a teenager.
Yeah. So the couple also had a son together named Bear, who was born on March 22nd, 2017. They ended up splitting up in 2018, and Liam was rumored to date Naomi Campbell. I had to look this up because I was like, no fucking way. But there was definitely rumors that they were like spotted together and things like that, which seems crazy to me because I feel like that'd be another age gap.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he also dated Maya Henry from 2019 to 2022. They were very on again, off again, and were engaged twice before splitting for good. Liam and Maya's relationship has been very controversial. There's been allegations of assault by Maya against Liam. So we'll keep going on with the story chronologically, and we'll hit on the allegations when they come out. So from October 2022, up until his death, Liam was in a relationship with an influencer named Kate Cassidy, and she was with him just days before he died. Liam struggled with addiction for much of his life. He spoke about struggling with drugs and alcohol on the podcast that I was just talking about. It's the Diary of a CEO podcast, and the host is Stephen Bartlett. So some of the things that he said on there, he revealed that he didn't like himself very much during his early boy band days, which he said were filled with pills and booze and moments of suicidal ideation. He said, there is some stuff that I definitely never have spoken about. And when talking about his drinking problem and mental health issues, he says it was really, really, really severe. It was a problem. He said, the day the band ended, I was like, thank you, Lord. I know a lot of people are going to be mad at me for saying that, but I needed to stop or it would kill me. So then he goes on to talk about a little bit why he struggled so much. And he said, in the band, the best way to secure us because of how big we got was just to lock us in our rooms. What's in the room? A mini bar. So at a certain point, I thought, I'm just going to have a party for one. And that seemed to carry on for many years of my life. Then you look back at how long you've been drinking and you're just like, Jesus Christ, that's a long time. So we were always locked in a hotel room at night. Then it would be car, hotel room, stage, sing, locked. So it would look like they pulled the dust cloth off and let us out for a minute and then just back underneath it. So he talked a lot about how since they were so young, they were always just kind of corralled. into hotel rooms because to keep them safe, essentially, because they were so famous, and just to keep track of them, they just weren't allowed out of the hotel, out of their rooms. They all had security. He said it took him a long time to realize, like, he was the boss, essentially, that these people technically work for him. And he said that's what a lot of child stars struggle with, is you're being told what to do by all of these people. And you think, like, oh, that's just what I have to do. Like, you feel like you have no control. And he said it would be crazy to go from these huge, like, stadium arenas, like, tons of people yelling your name, and then you're just, like, locked in, put away in a hotel room after, and you're not allowed back out.
I do find it interesting, too, based on what we're going to speak about soon, about what happened in the end, about how he already mentioned in his earlier life being locked in hotel rooms and basically being told what to do and confined.
He brought it up, like, in the interview. It was an hour and a half long episode. If you want to hear him talk more, I would recommend checking it out. I'd never listened to the podcast before, but it was good and it was interesting. He does come off very well-spoken. He said that he was sober for a month at that point, but he does seem pretty self-aware about a lot of things, which was interesting. But he brought up at least, like, three separate times, just, like, the lonely hotel rooms. Like, he went back to that multiple times. He also talked about how... What is the quote he said? He said, "You leave fame the age you enter it." And he was 14 years old when he started to get famous. And that basically it was very hard for him to adapt back kind of to the regular world, because at that point, everyone did everything for him. Like, he didn't learn any life skills. He was used as an example, paying his car insurance. He had no idea how to do that or even what that was all about. So just so many regular skills you learn growing up, they don't learn that those things because they have people waiting on them managing all that hand and foot. Their whole day is planned out for them, essentially. Every move that they're going to make, they have people with them. So I feel like that was another reason why he kind of struggled. More about his time with One Direction. He said there was points where it was toxic and difficult. Don't get me wrong, we had the best time ever, but you don't realize you have a choice at that point. Kind of like what I was just saying about how they were just listening to what people were telling them to do.
Yeah.
He said, "I still feel like a child in so many ways. There's no link between money and happiness. It's a myth. Money is the ability to relax on certain things." He also spoke about relationships in the podcast. He said that at that time he was indeed single. He said, "I feel like more than anything at this point, I'm more disappointed in myself that I keep on hurting people. That annoys me. I've just not been very good at relationships." So this would be right after, I think, his relationship with Maya Henry. It was 2021, so...
Yeah, well, 2022-ish. Because they did break off. They did break up and get back together and broke up again. So, yeah, it was definitely around that time.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that's what he's alluding to. He said, "I'm just not very good at them, so I just need to work on myself before I put myself on somebody else." In May 2023, he spoke to the media about his sobriety. He said that he'd been sober for over 3 months. Said, "I'm sober now, over 100 days. I feel amazing. I feel really good. And the support from fans has been really, really good. I'm super happy." Then a few months later, in August 2023, Liam ended up postponing his tour due to a kidney infection. As we mentioned, as a kid, he seemed to have some issues with his kidneys. He said, "Hey guys, this is really the last news I wanted to be telling you, but basically I've been a little bit unwell recently and I ended up in the hospital with a bad kidney infection. We started rehearsals and I've just been advised that now is really not the time to be out on the road trying to recover from this. I have the best people around me at home trying to help me recover as we speak." He didn't share further details on his hospitalization, but said in the caption of the post that the kidney infection was serious and something that he wouldn't wish on anyone. He also said, "Please look out for ways to refund your tickets. Looking forward to seeing you guys soon. Hopefully we'll put on a bigger and better show. Thank you. I'm sorry."
I've seen this video and he actually looks very unwell. I do wonder now if it was really a kidney infection or if there was possibly something more addiction related going on. Like, it could have been a kidney infection, but
he could have gotten a kidney infection from not taking care of himself too. Yeah,
he looked horrible. Like, he looked kind of gray and unwell, and obviously he was unwell enough to be able to postpone the tour for whatever reason. But yeah, he did not look well at all.
Yeah, I don't remember what date he said on the podcast, but he did talk about how, like, in some photos, like, he could just tell when he was using it when he wasn't, because his face would get super bloated and he would just look different.
It's even like Matthew Perry, how he mentioned, he said you can tell in the years where he was an alcoholic because he was puffy and had put on weight, whereas yeah, when he like was doing he pills, too. He was skinnier. Yeah.
We'll start getting into the days leading up to Liam's death in 2024. So on Monday, September 30th, 2024, Liam and his girlfriend Kate arrived in Argentina. In Argentina, Kate has a travel vlog on TikTok, and she said, "We literally packed an hour before our flight. It was pretty hectic." On October 2nd, Liam and Kate met up with Niall Horan, who was performing at the Movie Star Arena. And then on October 5th, Liam and Kate attended a Paul McCartney concert. At some point in early October, so this is what we were talking about before, Maya, who is Liam's ex that they seem to have kind of a tumultuous relationship with, they were engaged, broke up, got back together a lot. So she instructed lawyers to issue a cease and desist letter to Liam after accusing him of repeatedly contacting her. So this is a quote from her attorneys to Daily Mail. It says, "Maya Henry issued a cease and desist last week to Liam Payne following the emergence of new and concerning information. She's retained attorneys Marco Crawford and Daniel Cerna to represent her at this time. That is her only comment on the matter." Maya also then went on to make a TikTok discussing Liam's behavior after they broke up.
Okay, I'm going to address some of these comments and kind of break it down. So I've been seeing ones like this everywhere, and honestly, ones that say she needs to keep her his name out of her mouth. She's obsessed, blah, blah, blah. They broke up years ago. Well, I made a 5-second TikTok about something he talked about on a podcast. He was the one airing out everyone's dirty laundry on a podcast. So it's okay for him to talk shit, but the minute I make a 5-second video, it's over, right? Also, you're calling me obsessed. Oh, she's crazy. This has happened when you are with someone who's obsessed, blah, 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 blah. Y'all don't even know what happens behind closed doors or in private. Ever since we broke up, he messages me, blow up my phone, mind you. Not only from his phone number, it's always from different phone numbers too. So I never know where it's going to come from. He'll create new iCloud accounts to iMessage me. It's always a damn new iCloud account. I'm like, every time I see one pop up on my phone, I'm like, here we fucking go again. Also, will email me. And he does this when he gets his phone taken away. Also, not only me, but he'll blow up my mom's phone. Is that normal behavior to you? But I'm crazy for making a 5-second TikTok about something that he brought to the internet. And is also messaging my friends. Not only was he messaging them, I found out later while we were together, so they could go over to his house apparently. But then is also was messaging my best friend to come over to his house when his girlfriend was gone. Was saying, oh, my girlfriend's gone, blah, 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 blah. Like, he's the one that is constantly doing weird shit. And also, might I add, literally said, oh, the reason I, you know, he has all these people on his damn Snapchat, which he has for years, apparently, that he messages or whatever, and on Instagram. And he says that he preys on One Direction fans because they will always be loyal to him and they won't tell on him. So it's like, okay, not only are you, and also you weaponize your own fan base. It's like, oh, people are also saying she just wants money, blah, 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 blah. Who's paying her to do this? I don't need money. What are y'all not getting here? I never needed it when I was, it's just not even a topic of discussion. And also, oh, she's just with him for money, blah, 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 blah. I never needed his money. He never even paid for anything for me. I literally paid for everything myself. It's not like I was going shopping on his Amex. Like, calm down. But also the fans that ride for him so hard, I will never understand. Okay, support whoever you love, you know, whatever. But when you constantly enable someone, they're never gonna realize what they've done is bad, or they do realize, but they know that they can get away with it, which is what has happened to him for so many damn years. Everything gets swept under the rug. Everything gets hidden for him. I don't know who the hell is behind all of this, but nothing ever comes out about him. Because either I understand people are scared, but also it's hard when you have these people that jump down your throat for speaking the truth on things that have happened and quite frankly, very disgusting things that have happened and disgusting things that he's done. And he knows that too. He knows that he can get away with anything. He's told me. And oh, don't you dare, don't tell anyone because they're not going to believe you anyways. Like the fans always have our back. We can do whatever, you know, we want and they're always going to defend us. And he's right. That's the thing. He's not even wrong. And he knows and he uses that.
I feel like some people would say it's weird and like, why would she do that? But she, you have to remember also like One Direction has like crazy fans. So she's also gotten a lot of heat and has been harassed from by people about her relationship and the breakup and things like that. I mean, she has every right to tell her story as well. So
I'm assuming that's what has to do with the cease and desist. Basically, he was just contacting her from wherever he could. He wouldn't leave her alone.
Just harassing her and her family.
Yeah.
Like he was sending her family members pictures of his dick, like her grandma and mother. So it is pretty ridiculous and crazy. She also appeared on the Internet is Dead podcast in October and said he'd always message me ever since we broke up saying, oh, I'm not well. He would always play with death and be like, well, I'm going to die. I'm not doing well.
Because he would always message me ever since we broke up, like, oh, I'm not well. He would always play with death and be like, well, I'm going to die. I'm not doing well. I know the lifestyle he lives and there is a day where something bad is going to happen. So I would always be like, okay, he's saying these things. I have to help him because if I don't, I will never be able to live with myself if something does happen to him.
Liam Payne's ex-fiancée Maya Henry claims he recently predicted his early death. Maya making the eerie comments on the Internet is Dead podcast in an episode released just 2 days before the former One Direction singer died after falling from the third floor of a hotel in Argentina. He was 31 years old.
There was one time I tried to get him help and then he was like not taking it.
On the show, Maya opened up about the quote, manipulation she experienced from Liam during and after their relationship and explained how the topic of Liam's death came up ahead of the May release of her book, Looking Forward, a novel inspired by her time with the singer.
He would text my mom, I'm not doing well, have Maya contact me, because I wouldn't respond. And it's just always the same cycle. Ugh. Like, for example, when I announced my book, he did the same thing. He called my mom, I think I'm not going to be around much longer. And I don't play with death. So I'm like, if you say this, I'm going to try and help you no matter what you've done. And I think he took advantage of my family's kindness. And I was like, if you want to go back to rehab, I'll help you.
The revelations continue from there, including warnings from a friend that Liam might die by suicide or under mysterious circumstances.
My book was coming out. Even one of his friends was calling me and my mom being like, oh, you know, this isn't a good time for him. I don't think you should put the book out. You know, he's not doing well. And if something happens to him, not only are you going to blame yourself, but the whole world's going to blame you. And so I was like, just the fact that they just keep trying, I'm like, it is like you said, such a low f-ing manipulation tactic.
It's kind of eerie now. Like this was in October 2024, I believe, that she went on this podcast. He died October 16th. So in the 2 weeks before he died, this is what she's saying. It's kind of eerily foreshadowing what was going to happen.
Yeah, I think some of it's also just like typical addict toxic relationship behavior too.
They threaten that they're going to kill themselves or they're not doing well or they're in a bad place. So you, as a person who is dating them, genuinely feels that could be true, that they could be at risk of suicide or at least hurting themselves or harming themselves. You go back into the situation because you care about them, but eventually the person who is an addict or manipulative learns that that's a way to get you back and you get trapped in this vicious cycle forever until you can finally break free. And unfortunately, sometimes that means you have to deal with them essentially overdosing and maybe blaming it on you. That is actually something that has happened to me. And that's why it's so hard for victims or people who are in relationships with addicts to get out.
Yeah.
So Maya did also write a book called Looking Forward. It is a fiction book, but it's very clearly based on her relationship with Liam.
Well, looking forward, so it says, versus One Direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've read, when I was looking about this, I was reading that they say she released it as a fiction because it would be too much, there would be too many legalities for her to release it as an autobiography.
Yeah. So the synopsis of the book says, growing up in an exclusive Tennessee neighborhood, Mallory Hunt never fit in, chubby and brunette in a sea of blonde future debutantes. She takes solace in her tight-knit family and best friend Luna. Together, the girls bond over their favorite band, Five Forward, like One Direction.
Yeah.
Imagining exciting, glamorous futures. Years later, Mal is suddenly thrust into the world of high fashion, modeling. She transforms herself from small-town outcast to model, meeting people she's only seen in magazines, including Oliver Smith, the handsome former member of Five Forward. From Dubai to Paris, London to Coachella, Mallory finds herself desperately in love with the former boy bander despite fame, attention, and personal demons that threaten them both. As their fantasy love affair goes from private intimacy to public meltdown, Mallory learns the pain and heartache when your love goes from girlhood fantasy to real life drama. So this information is from Reddit and it outlines some of the abuse that Maya allegedly suffered at the hands of Liam. And this is coming from the book. So again, it's like, you don't know how much of it's exactly true, but it's been pretty clear that's based on real things that happened. So this is the comment. It says, Ish really talks about her own relationship in the whole book, and I believe she does. Liam chased her around their home with an axe while he was drunk. He refused to drive her to the hospital when she had complications from the abortion he pressured her into having, and when she wanted to leave, he told her that nobody will ever believe her and that his fans will always be on his side. I did read some excerpts from the book, and there is a lot of crazy things like that. She talks about how he struggled with addiction and how he would drink and do drugs and would just sometimes turn into a totally different person, which again, I feel like people who dated someone who is an addict can relate to. She could tell just by the look on his face that it like wasn't Liam, and he would just snap and get very, very aggressive and turn into a monster basically. And yeah, he chased her around the house with an axe, like he broke the TV with it. He was like hitting the walls with it. And she like locked herself in a bathroom to get away from him. She said there was times where he would just like start screaming at her and she'd be afraid. And she said sometimes she was able to kind of snap him out of it by just being like, Liam, like stop. Like if she yelled at him enough, it would almost snap him out of this crazy aggressive behavior that was going on. And then he, you know, would start crying, saying how he's so sorry, how he hates himself. He hates like that he does this. He wants to stop. So just like a vicious cycle of addiction and abuse that she was dealing with.
Yeah.
I mean, according to this story. So back to his whereabouts leading up to his death. So then that brings us to October 11th, 2024. He was pictured posing for some photos with some fans. You could see those online. Then on October 13th, 2024, Kate left Argentina and went back to Florida. She said online, because she's an influencer, like we said, she said, I was so ready to leave, honestly. And she added that the trip was planned to be 5 days, but it was extended into 2 weeks.
I was so ready to leave. Honestly, loved South America, but I hate staying in one place for too long. And we were supposed to be there for like 5 days, turned into 2 weeks. And I was just like, I need to go home. Of course, my seat was 1D. I feel like this happens every single time I fly. I also get such anxiety before flying, so I like broke out in this like weird rash.
It turns out Liam needed to obtain a visa to re-enter the United States, which is believed to be kind of what delayed the trip and maybe why they ended up staying longer in Argentina. So this info comes from Sky News and says, according to the Harvard International Office, an extraordinary visa or a O-1 non-immigrant visa is a temporary work visa for individuals recognized for their exceptional ability, in Liam's case, as a globally famous musician. A friend of Liam's said his application was delayed due to his admission of past substance abuse, which required him to undergo psychiatric and medical evaluations before approval. The friend said it's widely known that he had been in rehab in the U.S., so he had to tick the box because of this. He had to have medical tests. He had to be checked out by a doctor and a psychiatrist. All this took time, so Liam was forced to stay in Buenos Aires longer than he planned. So obviously, the average person could probably just lie and be like, nope, never struggled. But when you're famous and everybody knows your business, it's a little harder to just lie about that stuff.
I do wonder too if this trip was essentially taken because of the visa issue. Like, it hasn't really been confirmed that that is why, but it seems weird that he would leave the US for a planned 5-day trip that would turn into one that went for weeks and weeks and weeks. Like, maybe he had to leave because his visa was up and it just took a lot longer than expected for him to be able to come back.
Or maybe he just went on a regular trip and then he wasn't allowed to come back.
Yeah, it could be.
Recent reports from TMZ and Page Six have outlined what Liam was up to in the days before his death. He alleged, so this is like new information that came out either today or last night. He allegedly ordered 4 bottles of whiskey around 10 p.m. on October 15th. So this would be the night before Liam died. He died on the 16th. A fan who interacted with him that day said that he appeared fine. The fan said, Liam looked in good shape, not drunk or aggressive, like they've been saying on social media. He approached us and spent quite a bit of time talking to us and telling us about his experiences in Buenos Aires, the places he's been to and where he wanted to go. He said he loved the city and would like to buy a home here and that he loved the countryside around Buenos Aires. Liam also told us during the conversation that he'd been to the countryside with his girlfriend. And that on Sunday morning, about 7 a.m., they'd gone out running together. He told us he was really enjoying Buenos Aires.
I've seen a bunch of videos and photos of Liam, like the one that you mentioned earlier where he posed with the girl on October 11. He looks good, like he looks fine and healthy, whereas there's some other videos I've seen where he looks pretty horrible, like he looks, you know what the word is, disheveled. He just doesn't look as
sweaty.
Great. So I feel like he, up until the girlfriend was there, he was seemed like he was all right. And then after that, it really, like, I feel like if you look at the photos that have come out in the videos, you can really notice that there was a downward spiral for him.
I think he's also definitely had, because I've never listened to him talk too much. And then I listened to this podcast and was doing research today. And I was surprised by that he's very well spoken, like seems pretty self-aware. But I think just, you know, being part of One Direction and having all these people around you at all times, he's definitely had media training, has been trained on what to say and how to act and how to come off. So it's probably a skill of his too, essentially, so that he can be well-spoken when need to be. And judging off of what his ex, Maya, has said, did seem like he would be fine and could kind of handle himself to a point, whether he was under the influence or not. And then it would just like be a total flip at some Switch. Point for whatever reason when he hit a certain point.
So the hotel where Liam was staying is called the Casa Sur Palermo Hotel. This is just a little bit about it. It says it's located in the modern neighborhood of Palermo, Hollywood, which is still in Buenos Aires. It's surrounded by bars, art galleries, and the best restaurants in the city. There's only 61 rooms. They're elegantly decorated in a chic and contemporary style, and they feature minimalist furniture, wooden floors, and delicate textures, maintaining the hotel's design philosophy. It says they were designed to satisfy at all times each of our guests' needs. So it's quite a small hotel. It's not like a large, you know, 20-story hotel. It's quite a small boutique hotel where he was staying.
Mm-hmm.
So despite the reports that Liam appeared fine, there does seem to have been a lot going on that day. There's been a lot just come out in the past week about what he was apparently up to. So as we mentioned, he ordered the 4 bottles of whiskey. He ordered another 5 bottles at 6:36 a.m. on the 16th. So this is the day that he would end up passing away. So 6:30 in the morning, he's ordering another 5 bottles of whiskey. He allegedly texted his friend Rogelio Roger Norez at 7 a.m. saying, dude, I think I'm going to fuck a hooker. 2 hours later at 9:32, he texted Roger again asking for 6 grams, and this presumably refers to cocaine. So just to break from Liam's story for a minute, because you'll hear Roger's name quite a lot brought up in regards to what happened. He's an Argentinian multimillionaire businessman, and he made his money in the energy industry. According to Forbes, Roger founded his own investment company when he was 23. And in 2018, when he was 28, he made it onto Forbes 30 Under 30 list in the energy category. He did know Liam. He was hanging around Liam at the time this all happened. So you might see his name mentioned in articles. At 11:32 a.m., two sex workers allegedly showed up, though it's unclear who called them. The two women have said to police that they had sex with Liam before he asked them for more cocaine. Liam allegedly refused to pay them and became enraged when they requested their money, and he punched the TV in his hotel room three times.
And there's pictures of the TV being broken. So
By 2 p.m., prosecutors claim he asked another hotel employee for another 7 grams today. Like, that is a lot of cocaine. 7 grams plus the original 6 grams. That is, unless he was sharing it around, like, it's absolutely life-threatening amount of cocaine.
Yeah, and also, especially if you're drinking on it and whatever else and probably not sleeping for days.
Yeah. So the court documents say that Roger came back to the hotel at 3:45 p.m. to pay the sex workers, and 15 minutes after that, hotel staff saw Liam, quote, visibly drunk with dilated pupils. At 4:04 p.m., Roger left the hotel, and a housekeeper allegedly heard Liam destroying his hotel room. The hotel staff had tried to call Roger back, but he didn't pick up. However, by 4:25, he texted Liam, "How are you?" But Liam never responded. So this is when things went very, very wrong. Liam started to trash the hotel room. A hotel manager called emergency services, and he reported, quote, an aggressive man who could be under the effects of drugs and alcohol. The manager indicated in the call that, quote, when he is conscious, he is destroying the entire room and we need you to send someone. And he also said that the man's life was at risk due to the room having a balcony. So a man named Doug Jones was staying at the hotel at the time, and he told BBC, "I thought they were working on the room. There was a lot of noise, like heavy listing, like banging, a lot of loud, violent noises. And I saw hotel people going in and out, so I thought they were doing work. So at 4:30, I started hearing some more noise. I was still doing work, and then I heard a really loud, violent scream around 4:45 or 5 p.m. So police arrived at the hotel after the manager called them, and around the time they arrived, a, quote, loud sound was heard, and Liam's body was found in the courtyard. His death was confirmed at 5:11 local time on October 16th, 2024. The head of Buenos Aires Emergency Services is a man named Alberto Crescenti, and he gave a statement the following day. He said, "Our role was to head there quickly, give medical attention, and try to resuscitate him, but his injuries were incompatible with life. Based on what the team saw, there was apparently a cranial fracture and extremely serious injuries that led to his immediate death." So he told the media that Liam fell around 43 to 46 feet, which is 13 to 14 meters, and that he sustained very serious injuries incompatible with life, leaving no possibility of resuscitation. So Alberto refused to say at the time if Liam's death was suicide, accident, homicide. He wouldn't give any information on that. So Liam's autopsy results were made public not long after his death. The report said that Liam died of polytrauma and internal and external bleeding. The prosecutor's office called his death doubtful or undetermined, meaning there was no conclusive information about the cause of death. So again, that's suicide, accident, homicide. They said that following his death, a series of substances were seized from his room, which would prove a previous situation of alcohol and drugs consumption. So as Stephanie mentioned, there are photos from the room. There's one of the smashed TV. There's one of basically a bunch of drug paraphernalia. It looks like powder. I don't know if there's any. There's looks anyway, just drug paraphernalia. And there's also
a sink. It's just a huge mess.
A massive mess, just trashed. And there's another photo which looks like a bathtub or a sink, again, with debris in it. So they've kind of proven that this is what his room was looking like at the time. So Liam died as a result of multiple traumatic injuries and internal and external bleeding. Forensic experts said they found 25 injuries compatible with those produced by a fall from height and not self-harm. They said his brain and skull injuries in particular were sufficiently suitable to cause death. They said internal and external hemorrhages in his skull, chest, abdomen, and lungs contributed to the mechanism of death, They also said that Liam did not adopt a reflexive posture to protect himself, or that he could have fallen into a state of semi or total unconsciousness. So basically, at the time, they were indicating that he accidentally fell. Somehow he was unconscious and managed to fall off the balcony because he didn't put his hands out to stop himself or anything like that at the time.
Like most people's instinct would be to like try to protect your head or put your hands out, whereas he didn't seem to do that.
So as per the prosecutor's office, they said everything indicates that the musician was alone when the fall occurred and that he was going through some kind of breakdown as a result of substance abuse. So they analyzed his hands. They said there were not any injuries, which we just mentioned, to, you know, indicate that he was trying to protect himself from someone or trying to stop the fall. They said all the injuries on his body were vital and produced at the same time. No injuries were observed that could suggest the intervention of third parties. So in terms of Liam's toxicology, there have been many varying reports. There's been reports from really legit sources such as The Guardian, which said that Liam had multiple substances in his system, including pink cocaine, which is a drug that is a mix of several drugs, including methamphetamine, ketamine, MDMA, and others, as well as cocaine, benzos, and crack. So that article is still up. I looked when I was writing the notes this week. The article is still up. Despite all these agencies reporting this, the Argentinian Public Prosecutor's Office disputed the reports at the time and said that the toxicology report had not yet been completed, and they denied that they had disclosed any details. So,
did they find it in his room? I thought they found some in his room.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So the articles have reported about the pink cocaine. It's still up online. But apparently, and even when that, we'll get into it in a minute, but when they released their final report, none of those drugs were mentioned. So I don't know if there's disconnect, if they're trying to not release all the information for some reason, maybe part of the investigation, but.
Or if it could have just been the media like sensationalizing it, being like, oh, this drug is popular around here. Yeah. It could have been this. And a lot of people just kind of glazed over that. I know, it's very weird.
So on the night of the 23rd of October, Buenos Aires police raided the hotel. They'd got documents and other information. They seized items such as computers, and they requested that the hotel hand over camera footage. On the 7th of November, so not too long ago, prosecutors said that toxicology showed that Liam had, quote, traces of alcohol, cocaine, and a prescribed antidepressant prior to his death. They said they reached this conclusion after complete toxicological analysis, carried out in a very short time. But yeah, as we mentioned, all the other drugs, the pink cocaine has never been mentioned or confirmed by the Argentinian authorities. So I'm not entirely sure what is up with that discrepancy. And I feel like from what is seen on that, in that photo, I feel like it does look like it's more than cocaine. I know he did get apparently the 13 grams of cocaine, but it just looks like there's a lot more going on that table.
That's what I thought too at first, but then when I saw how much it was and if he really was doing that much, like I've seen people on way less cocaine bug out. So if he was just doing that and he had a tendency to just kind of struggle with his mental health, maybe just went into some sort of spiral or mental breakdown. And I could believe it if he was really doing like all that cocaine.
So the prosecutors said that after reviewing the videos, the documents, and all the technology that they had, they determined that Liam was supplied with drugs four times while he was at the hotel between October 13th and October 16th. So interesting. I feel like Kate left on the 13th, I believe we said. So after she left, he basically seemed to start getting these drugs.
Went crazy.
Yeah. So the cocaine, the alcohol, and the antidepressants that were in his system were consumed by him within 72 hours of his death, which fits with the 13th to the 16th of October timeline. Authorities also announced on November 7 that three people had been charged in relation to his death. A friend of his, a hotel worker, and also an alleged drug dealer was charged with supplying him with drugs twice before his death. None of these people have been named publicly in the media. I know there's a lot of speculation that Roger is one. He has denied it. And there is a lot of speculation online. We're not going to name any of them because they haven't been officially named yet in any public documents.
I feel like TMZ tried, like, kind of insinuated the friend is Roger.
I have seen that too. So according to prosecutors, the first of the people arrested, quote, accompanied the artist on a daily basis during his stay in Buenos Aires. He's charged with the crimes of abandonment of a person followed by death. So obviously I don't want to get in any legal trouble, but Roger was there right before he died. He left. it makes sense why people are speculating Roger. We don't know that it is him.
Mm-hmm.
They also, that person is also accused in relation to the supply and facilitation of narcotics, and he could face 5 to 15 years in prison. The second person charged was a hotel employee, and they have said that Liam was given cocaine twice by this person. A third person is also accused of twice supplying drugs to him at different times. So the prosecutor went on to say the investigation must continue since, amongst other procedures, the unlocking of the victim's personal netbook, which is his laptop, which is broken, and other devices seized in the investigation are still in progress. So there was kind of reports that Liam was in the lobby with the laptop right before all this kicked off. So I don't know if he trashed it or if it got broken in kind of the scuffle that went on, but they're saying that they haven't been able to access the laptop yet. Some outlets are also reporting that Liam's $60,000 Rolex has gone missing since his death. Detectives said, we know from images that were analysed that Liam was wearing a Rolex on the day of his death. They said they knew he'd been wearing the watch for at least 2 to 3 hours before he died, but the watch was not found at the hotel. The watch was searched for at homes of the people accused in relation to Liam's case, but no one has found it yet. So kind of an interesting, you know, someone obviously has this watch.
Yeah.
As we mentioned, Roger has been thought to possibly be one of the people accused. He has said, I've given my statement to the prosecutor on October 17th as a witness, and I haven't spoken to any police officer or prosecutor ever since. I wasn't Liam's manager, because there were some reports that he was, and that's why he was accompanying Liam around. But he said, I wasn't Liam's manager. He was just my very dear friend. I'm really heartbroken with this tragedy, and I've been missing my friend every single day. So Liam's funeral was held on November 20th, 2024. It was held at St. Mary's Church in Buckinghamshire in England. His body was carried in a horse-drawn carriage. On top of the carriage, there was a blue floral tribute that said son and a blue tribute that said daddy, which was obviously from his son, Bear. All the One Direction guys went to the funeral. Simon Cowell was there. It was a private funeral, so we don't know actually what went on in the service, but there was all the footage of them outside before and after.
The One Direction reunion no fan wished to see.
Seems to me that when I die, these words will be written on my stone. And I'll be gone tonight. The ground beneath my feet is open wide.
Liam Payne's bandmates coming together at his funeral in England on Wednesday. Harry Styles hiding behind shades, along with Zayn Malik and Niall Horan. Louis Tomlinson bowing his head, clutching the service program, which bears a smiling photo of the late 31-year-old singer. 1D's founder Simon Cowell got emotional at the church, where Liam's body arrived in a horse-drawn carriage, 1 month after his fatal fall from a hotel balcony in Argentina.
Liam has now been deceased for about 6 weeks, but in the last few days, there has been some CCTV showing his final moments that has been made public. There's basically footage of these men carrying Liam. They're manhandling almost, some have him by the arms, some have him by the legs. His torso is horizontal, so he's not walking. They are carrying him by all his limbs through the hotel lobby. It says some reports say he's unconscious. Other reports say that he was holding his head up. They've blurred out his face, so you can't really see. I haven't seen any unblurred footage, but I feel like he wasn't unconscious at this point. I feel like,
have you seen the footage? Cause I've only seen the stills.
No, I haven't seen any footage released. Only the stills I've seen. Yeah. I feel like basically it seems like he was causing a ruckus in the lobby. They asked him to go. He wouldn't. So they literally picked him up and carried him and put him in his room.
I feel like they kind of insinuated that he was going in and out of consciousness as well. Because at some point during the 911 call, the guy says when he's conscious, he's bugging out.
Yeah, he did say that.
So maybe, yeah.
In and out. So the footage was apparently time stamped at 4:54 p.m., which was exactly 13 minutes before he died. I have seen some reports that the timestamp might be wrong, but either way, it was quite in a quite short time frame before he died.
Hmm.
So TMZ have alleged this week that Liam was actually trying to get out of his hotel room when he fell to his death. And this is a direct quote from TMZ. It says, here's what we know. Liam hated being locked up in hotel rooms, which is something he had to deal with during his time in One Direction. And we spoke about that earlier, how he said basically they'd lock the door and he would just drink the minibar and he hated it. He apparently, this is back to the TMZ quote, he had used the balcony escape plan before, most recently in mid-September, when sources with direct knowledge told TMZ that Liam's bodyguard was concerned he may have been on a drug binge and forced him inside a room in a Florida rental house. Liam escaped from a balcony using a garden hose to reach the ground. Hotel employees entered Liam's room and put him there. I'm assuming this is after they carried him up. They used a master key to open the door. They also removed a mirror from the room and took it into a hallway, presumably so that he couldn't do damage to it or himself. There is some CCTV footage from TMZ where they've kind of placed arrows because you can't really tell what's going on, but, you know, they're putting the mirror out in the hallway. When Liam's body was found, he had both his hat and his bag with him. Neither of these items were seen on his person in the previous CCTV, so I think they're kind of indicating that they put him in the room, took the mirror out, shut the door, he put his hat and his bag on, and he tried to escape out of the balcony. Mm-hmm. There was also a leather bag, which there's a photo of. It's like a brown kind of duffel leather bag, was found on a balcony in the hotel. Presumably Liam had this when he fell. There is some speculation that he was trying to get out of the balcony. He dropped the brown bag onto the second floor, which is where it was found, and then he jumped after that, and that's when he died. So the bag wasn't found on the ground with him. It was found on like the floor below Liam. Mm-hmm. The bag apparently had a note inside that said for Liam, along with various pills and also a bottle of Jack Daniels. So that is it chronologically in what we know about Liam's death. As we mentioned, there is more and more information coming out every day. We have just learned this week about the CCTV, about the whiskey, about the cocaine. I just feel like this will be an ongoing case, especially with the arrests that are coming out. We will learn more as time goes on. It has taken 6 weeks just for that information to come out. So I'll be interested to see what else we learn, what else is confirmed, if they can get into his laptop especially. One thing I do find interesting is that this new information, it kind of conflicts with what the coroner said, that he was likely unconscious. I guess when it seems
actually
like
he's very clearly, maybe lost consciousness.
Yeah, but even, I mean, like to fall. So he was conscious enough to get his bag and his hat. It just seems like the fall would have happened in such a short time. I guess he could have hit his head straight away on the way down, which would indicate why he had no...
Or maybe he was just so like fucked up that he just didn't have the reflex to react to falling. Yeah.
And I do feel like some of this too, there's a language barrier. A lot of this is translated. So mm-hmm. some of it gets lost in translation. But yeah, it's interesting how there does seem to be some conflicting information.
Yeah, because I just think it's interesting that the guy who called 911, like I said he was going in and out of consciousness. And I did see early on, and what they were saying seems to be accurate from what's come out now. Some of the people who worked at the hotel were saying that he was kind of just like raging out, and then he would be unconscious or would be out of it, and then he'd just go back to like raging out in the lobby. Like one of them did specifically say like he broke his laptop in the lobby. They said that they were trying to clean the room, and it was like a huge mess. So some of that stuff does seem accurate.
Yeah. And even I looked at the time when the room photos came out, basically the photos that we saw, all the furniture was the same as what is on the hotel website. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there was some talk about if the photos were legit. I feel like they absolutely are legit.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'll probably never have an answer. And I do just kind of wonder what was going through his mind or what was happening in that moment. Because, again, like you said, it does seem like he should have been on more drugs than that. But I guess it depends how much he really did do himself, how much he was drinking. And plus, if he wasn't, I'd imagine he wasn't sleeping, and this was just kind of like a full-blown bender. And everything culminated into what happened. I don't know if the hotel people like locked him in the room, weren't letting him out of the room because they felt he was like a danger to others and himself. Like, did he try going out the door? Could he have just left the hotel? I'm curious about that too, because why did he feel like going through the balcony was his only option if that is what happened, which it seems like it, because he had his bag and stuff and threw the other bag over. So I'm curious to hear more from like the people who were there at the hotel too, but I don't know what will come out. I always have a hard time kind of like commenting on things like this, because there's the one side where he's done a lot of shitty things. If like the abuse stuff, obviously just allegations, is true, I think what he put his ex through is really, really horrible and scary, and not something that any woman or any person should have to go through. But I also understand the side of he struggled with addiction, and I'm sure kind of like the fame and scrutiny that he was under as a very young kid was very difficult. And I've just, growing up, I've lost friends and like ex-boyfriends to addiction, and I was kind of there when it started to get bad, and I had to make the choice to distance myself from those people just because they do become like horribly toxic and abusive towards other people when they're under the influence of drugs. Like, I do still have empathy because like I knew the people that I was friends with or had dated at the time when they weren't struggling with addiction. That's not how they always were, and that's not the person they were deep down, but that's what addiction does to people. So he did a lot of shitty things, but I think it was because of his struggles with addiction.
So many child stars end up messed up, and it's probably like you said, because essentially they've had, yeah, I just can't even imagine how disconcerting it would be to grow up like that, and for that to be your only ever reality, to have known nothing else really, and then to try, and even like when, like One Direction, as we mentioned, they went on hiatus to try and live a normal life after that, people would use you for your money. It would be a very, very tough reality to live with.
Well, he was saying how essentially like when he was like 16, 15, whatever ages where One Direction was really at its peak. And Justin Bieber has talked about this too. Like, he's saying how nothing he ever did again would ever compare to that. And just like the pressure to always perform and not be seen as like a loser, failure, washed up former kid star, especially when you're being compared to like Harry Styles' success as a solo artist. He said that he does a lot better with routine and kind of just like always having something to strive for. And he just struggled with a lot of things like that, which I can imagine, just again, like the peak of your life being when you were 16. Like,
yeah, I agree. And even with like in One Direction, everyone always spoke about like, is there going to be a reunion? Essentially, for that to happen, they would have all had to agree. Clearly they didn't, because it didn't happen. It's just like he really didn't have much control over his life the whole entire time.
He said every minute of their day was planned.
Yeah. From being a teen in One Direction to even his career choices, he was limited because of, you know, of being in a boy band. It's, yeah. I can imagine that he would have felt out of control, plus his addiction.
You talk about how the public would think that they had all this freedom because they were so young, making all this money, like they're One Direction, like, hello, they're One Direction. Of course they have all this freedom. They said every minute of their day was planned. They had like daily call sheets for like every moment of the day, everywhere that they're supposed to be. And again, they were just kind of like locked up in rooms a lot of the time to like keep them safe, because people kind of didn't know what to do with them.
And as you said, like, he seems like he had demons. He wasn't always a great person. It sounds like he did some really shitty, horrible things, but his end was very lonely, tragic. It's just a sad way for a 31-year-old guy to die, alone, thrown in his room. And if it is true that he was trying to escape, imagine thinking that you had no other option but to jump out the balcony.
Yeah, it's just sad. I do think a lot of other darker things probably happened during their time in One Direction, because I know Zayn has also hinted that he hated everything associated with One Direction, essentially. So I'm always like waiting for some tell-all about some of the things that happened between them all or that they went through.
I wonder how long the NDA they signed would be.
Yeah, I don't know, or if they just don't want to talk about like each other's business. And
so that is it for all we know about Liam Payne's death and what led up to it at the moment. Obviously, we will probably learn more, so we'll keep you updated if there's enough for another episode, depending on what comes out, if the people are ever named. or if we learn enough for another episode. Otherwise, we'll just keep you updated as we learn information.
So everything will be on the blog at truecrimesocietyblog.com. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, because also if there's any updates, we'll post them there as well. You can follow us at True Crime Society on there. And if you want to follow our personal accounts, mine is stephsum_Olivia's TCS Olivia. And check out our Patreon if you want more content from us. We do all the episodes ad-free. We also do weekly bonus episodes as well. And we have some fun chats on Patreon too. And then all the usual stuff. If you can leave us some nice comments on Spotify and share the podcast to your Instagram stories or share it with a friend. And make sure you're like subscribed on Spotify or whatever platform you listen to, whatever platform you listen on. It's a big help to us. So yeah, that's it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. Stay safe out there. Peace out.